Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, episode number 287. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local. Well, we missed you last week, bud.
I know, it's been so crazy here. I'm sorry I missed the show. I'm assuming Scott did okay. He can get kind of rowdy sometimes.
Hey, yeah, you know, it's Scott. I keep him around for a reason, though. He knows what he's talking about at times.
So. Nice.
It was a good show. I piled in the news. I'm hoping everyone found it was useful and so you sucked too much.
So you sucked up all the news last week because we don't have a ton of news this week.
Yeah, I really used a lot last week. So yes, we'll have to milk this. But
we got some good questions though. Yeah, there's a couple good questions.
Good. I haven't had a chance to read them, so we'll see how that goes. Anyway,
my luck, you already answered them last week. So I checked. I did try to check. So
good. All right, so we'll start with something that's, it is news. It's out there in our sphere. I think the only thing interesting about it was that Google actually acknowledged it. Naturalnews.com was penalized by Google, and they were penalized because they were using a quote-unquote sneaky mobile redirect. And I gather that mobile redirect was sending people to different content than what they were planning on seeing in the desktop. As a result, Google penalized it, and they were completely removed. But they obviously made amends and submitted a re-inclusion request, and they were promptly back in the results. And I guess
I think the story here is that people thought they were penalized because of fake news, right? And it turns out that wasn't why they were penalized. People were being redirected to strange places, which in a way could be fake news. You're going one way and you end up somewhere else and you're not getting what you thought you'd get. That's kind of what fake news is, but
very true.
They try to convince you of something that's not really what it's supposed to be. So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. I won't get all political, but anyway, they say they're Trump supporters. And as a result, that's why they believe they were attacked. So they're trying to put together a lawsuit or petition and, anyway, whatever.
There's so many people who tried to sue Google because they were removed from the index for a penalty, and I don't think a single one of them has ever even come close to winning.
No.
Europe might have. There's some places in Europe where they may have gained more ground in those courts, but definitely not in the U.S.
No, I agree. Yeah. Anyway, not much there to say, but I wanted to share that with you. So if you've got any sneaky mobile redirects, they're on the lookout.
How can we start a campaign to correlate fake news to news as spam to email and black hat to SEO? It's basically all the same stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We got to figure out how to make that connection in people's eyes so they start like hating fake news the same way they hate spam and black hat stuff. Just a thought.
I think the problem is so many people that see the fake news believe it and don't think it's fake news. Unlike the spam.
Yes, spam is pretty easy to identify these days.
Yeah,
I got an Instagram spam just literally 5 minutes before we started the show. Someone joined my Instagram or followed me on Instagram, and it just like the name of their account was like pure blatant spam. I'm like, why do you even bother?
I guess you look like an easy mark.
Yeah, well, I am sometimes, depending on what kind of mood.
Next on the news here is that Google is going to be shutting down Google Site Search or Custom Search by the end of 2017. Now, this is a bit of a blow to some people. I know I was about to build it into one of my client sites. I really did like the system. Yes, you had to pay for it, but it was nice to be able to have a site search that was more functional and customizable. We obviously trust Google's systems to do a good job of the indexing. So it was pretty effective. Have you used it before?
We've used it on our sites for years, and I'm really interested in hearing what the solution is going to be coming out of our IT departments to what we're going to replace it with. But I can tell you we've also had major issues with it for years, too. So it'll be interesting to maybe get some newer, more effective technology in place.
Yes, indeed. Well, according to Google, they're directing consumers to either the ad-powered product, so the same thing, but it had ads on it, or their new
for us.
that sucks. Or their new cloud search product. Now, I looked into the cloud search, and I don't know, it's not making a lot of sense to me. I mean, I've only had a few minutes to look at it. Apparently it's part of the G Suite, the Google Suite, but I don't have it. And I went into Google Suite, and I noticed that there is there's three levels now: Google Suite Basic, Google Suite Business, and Google Suite Enterprise. So who knows which of those it's in? Obviously not Basic, because I don't have it.
According to their site, yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't even mention website stuff on their site. It just mentions files and stuff.
I'm looking at the G Suite plans. So like the basic one doesn't mention. Yeah, it gives you 30 gigs of cloud storage, but it's thinking about cloud search.
Huh. Yeah, well, in this case, cloud search, quote unquote, use the power of Google to search across your company's content in G Suite, from the Gmail and Drive to Docs, Sheets, Slides, Calendar, and more. So they don't mention anything about a website anymore.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. That's not a replacement product.
Anyway, I tried to dig up a little more info before we talked about it, but as typical as Google it is, I didn't find anything. I even tried to add it or find it within my own administration area for Google Suite, and it doesn't even seem to show up. Anyway. Such a mess over there.
It's one of those things where they got way too many things going on to really excel at some of these new things.
They do. Yeah, they really do. And it's, I mean, I still go with them. I'm still the sucker using them, but I have to admit their products are pretty good otherwise. You just can't assume they're going to be very stable at times.
And maybe we're just a little early, because if they're shutting this down by the end of the year, it's only March, right? And that gives them plenty of time to put together and market a replacement. So maybe we're just ahead of the curve, and they're going to take this cloud search and do something really cool with it that we're not aware of yet, because they haven't finalized it.
Yeah,
well, they're going to do it before they get rid of.
Yeah, let's announce it before it's ready. Right, why not? That sounds pretty Google.
They're not going to announce the replacement. They're just going to announce the end of the current one,
and suggest a replacement, which actually exists on the site but isn't actually doing what they say it's going to do. Let you take the next one here. You wrote it down.
Yeah. So one of the companies that track these kind of things, as far as what shows up in search results, you know, how many local search boxes are in there, knowledge graphs and that kind of stuff. They basically put out a report said Google Answers, knowledge cards, or live results. So those are the things you get when if you type in what's George Worthing's birthday, and it just tells you the answer. I mean, that's just one of there's a number of the things that do that. But those are the kind of things we're talking about here. Those kind of results are now in 50% of the search results. So half of the search results that they tracked, I mean, it's not going to be everything, because they don't track everything, but 50% of the terms and the queries that they track have either answers, knowledge card, or live results built into them. That's pretty significant in my mind, Ross. I mean, because that means for any half of the results in Google, that number one listing just got pushed down to almost below the fold, right, in some cases. So that makes a huge difference. It also means that we as SEOs really need to start, if you haven't already, understanding and practicing and putting in things into implementation that help get our clients into those spaces, into the answers, the knowledge cards, and live results. And that's a whole nother subset of what we do that now is going to start taking on a bigger focus, I think.
I'm getting better at taking screenshots as time goes on, but you know, you get busy. But I'd love to go back and just look at every 5 years how Google's search results have changed and look. It must be just mind-blowing. Five years is like light years. But
are there any pages on google.com tied to archive.org, like search result pages, or is it just standalone pages? I wonder if archive.org has any of the search result history.
Probably just the home page. I don't think they'd have any of the search results, but you never know.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. But I mean, I know there's people who have been really diligent about taking screenshots I just haven't.
Yeah. I guess the point of this is just be aware that this industry is constantly changing. And this is, to me, is one of the next big changes on the horizon. How do we help our clients appear in these new places at the top of the search result pages? If we can, if the search result even allows us to participate, right?
If they even allow us. Good point. Yeah. If you're not paying for it, that is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Google Panda and some Mueller files. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess. Cranberry Radio is your new destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Get educated and entertained by our panel of on-air experts and peers, and engage with us anytime by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn, so you can reach us before and after every program located on our new social shareable live streaming player. Access the new Cranberry Radio live stream player at our website, cranberry.fm.
Do you have cold, hard cash burning a hole in your pocket? Let Cranberry Radio lighten your load. Just hand us that burdensome dinero, and we'll get you set up with your very own radio show. We produce, edit, and amplify the show. All you have to do is show up. It's time for you to make an impact. We're glad to help. Just hand over the cash. Space is limited, so contact us now at sales@cranberry.fm.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advance Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So this another one you added here about Panda. I'm interested to hear more about this.
Yeah, Barry wrote up an article on this. Apparently, this probably should have been under Mueller files, actually. So if you want, we could actually start the Mueller files now if you want to do your dumb voice.
Well, now I'm not.
Good. All right. It worked. Yes.
Mueller
files. Oh, fine.
No, I didn't even do the number. Hey, yeah, it's not my dumb voice. That's just Mueller files. Anyway, yes, the Mueller files. Okay, moving on. I got to do my dumb voice last time. So because you weren't on, I got to go all out.
Some people say your normal voice is your dumb voice, but we won't say
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. Anyway, to move on. So there was some discussion. Someone asked John Mueller, about site architecture and how it impacts SEO, and specifically tied to Panda. And his answer was basically, and here's actually the quote he said, when we look at Panda, we see that something is not, you know, more like a general kind of quality evaluation of the website. Am I reading this right? And it takes into account everything around the site. So basically what he's saying is they're looking at everything in the site as a whole. And when it comes to site architecture, some of the examples that were given in this conversation were category pages. So if you have really bad category pages, how does that impact the other pages of the site? And we knew this all along from Panda. If you have a bunch of bad, low-quality pages, it impacts all the pages of your site. So this ties into architecture, and Barry didn't go into it in detail on his article too much, but how this ties into site architecture is really, if you have certain subsets of pages on your site that are not as optimized as others, or you have a section of your site, I love to use inventory of like a real estate. If you have the MLS listings on your site and all the houses are listed, you know, those are lower quality pages. because they're really duplicate content. Every real estate site on the planet is trying to list those same houses. So if you have a bunch of those indexed on your site, those lower quality pages are going to bring down the entire site. So when it comes to architecture, when you're talking about this, we know Panda really impacts every page on your site can impact every other page based on its quality. That's one of the things that Panda does, right? If you have one page that's bad, it's not going to have a big impact on the rest of the site. But if you have a whole section of your site or a whole category of types of pages that are all bad, that's going to have more of an impact. I think that's what they're trying to get at here. Do you agree, Ross? Did you have a chance to read it?
I didn't have a chance. I kind of glanced at it as you were talking, but I can't really comment on it. But I mean, it makes sense.
Right. So just be aware that if you have bad quality pages on the site, the more of those you have, whether it's a section of the site or you have 100 categories of on your directory page, the directories is a whole other thing we're going to get to in a minute, but we're talking about different types of pages. If you have a bunch of something that's not a high quality, it's going to bring down the other pages of the site because of Panda.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, it'd have to be pretty significant, I would imagine, how bad they are and also how many, you know, percentage-wise.
Yeah, I think it has to be a pretty good percentage. Yeah. I really do.
More Mueller files here, optimizing for podcasts. I thought this was kind of funny. It was brought up. And I think it's really timely, frankly, because it seems like everyone's starting a podcast. These followers. Anyway. I've seen quite a few start up and I mean, they're a lot of fun. I guess the news got out, but I hope the space doesn't get too saturated. In any case, there were some questions to John about John Mueller about how to optimize a podcast. And he was mentioning that it's best that you provide some content about the podcast around the link. He did say that going as far as a transcription would be a good idea because it does provide people with more information if they don't want to listen to the file and they happen to find the page based on your description. And the transcriptions, only problem with them is they're very expensive to make if you're going to do them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And currently there aren't really any decent automated options. If anyone knows of one, please post it on our Google Plus community forum, but I don't know of any. Last I looked, which was about, I guess it was about last year, so who knows, there was nothing that great. YouTube has one built in, which will do a pretty good job of taking audio and moving it to text, but I don't know if there's anything else that's affordable. In any case, I would love to do a transcription for ours, but I'm not sure that the systems would understand half the stuff we say.
Especially with those voices you use.
Yes. Yeah. So next, consider naming the podcast something effective. We're lucky with ours.
Are they talking about the name of the podcast or the name of each episode?
Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. So, making it some fancy dancy, catchy name that really just sounds airy fairy. It's just like naming an article. You don't want to make it all gobbledygook. You want it to make sense, right? You want it to reflect the content.
So you're talking about something like Webcology. Sorry.
Actually, yes. It's a good show, but I don't know.
I had to get a little dig at Jim Hedger, Davies.
But that is a good example. In fact, Jim was often my prey when he worked for me because he did that all the time with his articles. He always had fancy, dancy, fluffy names. Like, no, make it more descriptive. So, yes, SEO 101 is a good example of a good name because obviously it reflects what we're talking about. So just try not to be too airy-fairy with the name and that will help. I wasn't surprised, but he didn't get into any more of the specifics such as Libsyn. That's Libsyn. Which is used for hosting and distributing podcasts. It's a great platform we use for our marketing, our First Dentist Marketing podcast.
I'd be interested to know, like video on YouTube, when you embed a video on a website, it actually has an impact on the optimization of that, both in YouTube and organic search. It's a small impact, but some. I wonder if embeds also have an impact on podcasts.
That's a good question.
But then again, They don't have a podcast result like they have a video result in Google. They can't go and listen to a podcast straight from a Google result or get a link to an episode. Can you?
Not that I know of yet, but you know, that's got to be coming considering the popularity is just exploding.
You would think so. Yeah.
But you know, he didn't mention Libsyn or more simply the possible importance of an RSS feed and how that can have an impact. I guess he was just speaking specifically to the content on the page, because that was originally the question. Anyways, it was interesting. I loved seeing it and thought it was kind of fun to add.
I would say, just going to mention here, that if you type SEO 101 into Google, as one word, or ranked number two most of the time. No, one number one most of the time. If you're typing it as two words, SEO space 101 ranked number two most of the time. So we're pretty optimized.
Yeah, it is pretty good, actually. Moz is always up there trying to beat us out there.
Yeah, Bruce Clay tries to beat us too.
Yes, we do to send to bounce around. I've seen us once, one, but it doesn't happen very often.
Oh, I see us one all the time.
Oh, do you? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's where we should be.
And drum roll. Yep, we're number one. I just searched we're number one right now for the combined, and double check, and we're up. Sorry, we're not number one for separated. Our Google Plus community is number one for separated.
All right.
That might be personalized results now that I think about it, though. So.
All right. So another good question I thought was really timely. It's something that I get asked a lot about, image optimization for Google. And I was not sure I'd say pleasantly surprised. It's nice to see things stay still sometimes, but then again, it's not. Anyway, what do they need these days for optimization? Does Google's advances in image recognition minimize the need for image SEO? I'd like to hope so, but apparently not. John Mueller said, and I quote here, "I could see that happening in the future at some point. At the moment, this all really helps us a lot to understand what the images are all about." That doesn't really make sense, does it?
No.
From him, but no, he doesn't. I shouldn't have pasted that. Anyway, really what it comes down to is having, again, I'm quoting him here, so having clear file names, the alt attribute on the link to the image, title tag, all of that helps. A caption below the image, kind of the text around the image as well, all of that helps us understand what the image is about. So that's something I wouldn't skip, at least not for the moment. I could imagine, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years in the future that things are working so well with images that we need to just need to see that image once and understand exactly what it needs to rank for. But I don't see that happening in the near future. I thought it was pretty interesting because I'd written a whole things on how to optimize images and none of it's changed by the looks of it.
So wasn't there a thing a couple of years ago, not that long ago, I thought I read, and I'd have to dig to find it, that Google did make some advances in parsing text out of images. You know, there had to be specific circumstances, like it had to be pretty contrasty. You couldn't have text on a really busy background, but they were getting much better at reading text out of images. But that, again, I haven't heard much about that, but I believe I read that a couple of years ago.
I wouldn't be surprised. And in fact, I'm sure they can do everything we want them to. It's just a matter of scaling it.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine the processing power.
They still can't index Flash.
Do they want to? Is Flash even around still?
I don't see it. I don't know. Yeah. Google killed it anyway, so that's good.
Yeah, exactly. So in short, for a little more detail here on images, it's still pretty fresh in my mind. That article was quite a few years ago, and it's kind of shocking. It hasn't changed much. Not very many things stay still in SEO, but image optimization, you know, including pick of, image of, and the file names, and then whatever it is that the image is of, including that also in the alt attribute, maybe even the title. The title should more reflect what you want it to say. Captions specifically have to describe what describe why the image is even there. I mean, that's in relation to the content on the site.
So there's a couple. Can you talk a little bit about, there's two tags that people get confused about all the time on an image, right? Can you talk about that a little bit? I think that's a really good thing for our listeners to hear again.
So do you mean the title tag versus the alt tag?
Yes.
I have to look it up because I always get them confused. I don't even use the title tag. Honestly, I always have to look this up. It's like my own thing. It drives me crazy. So why don't you speak of it? Because I'm going to have to look it up right now.
So the alt tag is the tag that is used when the primary reason for it to be there is so when, believe it or not, when a blind person surfs the web and they get to your web page and the screen reader reads the stuff to them, it tells them this is a picture of, and it uses the alt text to describe the picture to someone in blind. And it's part of the 508C compliance that you have to do to have your website compliant for the handicapped, right? The title
now
tag.
That I got down. The title tag is the one that I always forget the reason for it.
The title tag, and I'm not sure what the reason for it is, but this is where people get confused, right? I've had so many people ask me, how come when I mouse over this image that the alt text doesn't show up? You know how sometimes you'll mouse over it and it'll tell you what the image is in your browser? When you mouse over an image, the text that comes up comes from the title tag, not the alt attribute, right? Now, and this is interesting to me because for a long time, I've been under the impression that the alt attribute, you really need to have that content in there. It makes sense, and the search engines use it. I was always under the impression that the title tag content tied to an image isn't really used that much by the search engines for indexation purposes, right?
Yes, it's here. The image title should provide additional information and follow the rules of a regular title. It should be relevant, short, catchy, and concise. The alt attribute, I use those religiously, and I police my clients to make sure that they use that for people who are blind. In fact, I was one of the people who worked with a client to create the first search engine for the blind called YouSearched.com. Completely accessible. Of course, it didn't last long, but there just wasn't enough business in it. But it was cool.
I bet you there'd be more now. It's something. When was that? How long ago was that?
Wow.
Because
5-6 years ago, maybe even longer.
Yeah, the internet usage in the past 5 or 6 years is exponentially larger than it was when you did that. There's probably more of a market now than there was then, for sure.
True. Yeah. Anyway, it was really interesting. What a learning curve. That. Whatever so, is that 5 or whatever C was, what's that you said about the standard
508?
Yeah, was I had to hire someone just to understand it. It was pretty intense.
And there is a tool out there. I think it's even on the W3C. W3C.org is the organization that really controls markup for HTML, HTML5. It's the W3C.org is where you go. They have tools at that website that allow you to run your site through a verifier to see if you have any problems with your code for HTML or CSS. They also have one for 508C compliance. So if you want to see if your site is handicap compliant or if there's any issues tied to that, look for that tool. It's a 508C compliance or verification tool.
Holy crap. So I was way off. World's first accessible search engine, YouSearched.com, we helped develop in 2004.
Oh, geez. Yeah. I'm going to say the market's a little bigger for that now.
Wow. That was a lot of fun, though. I was pretty proud of that. We used Lee Roberts. He was quite the expert in that area.
Yeah. So what's your take on when to use an alt attribute tag? Because I get this question all the time, and I usually say you want to use the alt attribute tag primarily on images that are related to the content of the page. You don't want to really use it on placeholder images or graphic images that are tied to the look and feel of the site. You want to use it on content specifically that's related to, or images specifically related to content on the page.
Well, this is my preference. I'm not sure how this would ever stack up to the standards, but I use it only in images that are used within the content. Yes, I don't use it for any of the structural images or anything like that. I mean, if it's a significant image, yes, but no, otherwise I don't.
Yeah, maybe a logo in the header or something like that.
Right? Or if you've got a major, exactly, a header, some sort of graphic there. I think that's important. Either just maybe add some context and some enjoyment to the page for anyone who can't see it well.
Yeah, but the little image in the footer that's a Facebook logo that links over to your Facebook page, you don't need to put an alt attribute that says Facebook logo on that by any means.
No.
Yeah.
No, but it, yeah. Wow. What a trip down memory lane. And holy cow. I'll send you this link. It's pretty funny. I'll post it. For anyone who wants.
Oh yeah.
I'd love
to see it. I would love to see it.
World's first success. The site's not up obviously, but, this press release we created, has usearch.com in it a few times. Good old optimization back then. Oh dear. Yes.
We want you to search, you search, so you can search for you.
No, no, we didn't hire you. I'm surprised it's still there. We still have quite a bit of content from back then that still shows up, but anyway. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into one or two more pieces of news and then some great listener questions.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, John has added another nail to the directory coffin. Tell me all. I haven't heard this.
So, in case you didn't know, directories are pretty much dead in the water these days, unless it's one of the top few directories on the internet. And somebody wrote John on Twitter, basically said, John Mueller, what about directory submissions? Basically talking about things you can do to help SEO. And his answer was real simple. Generally, no. So, and we've known this for a while. Directories, they're very low quality. Most of them were discounted many years ago as being any type of viable resource for either links or authority, any of that kind of stuff. The one place where they do make some sense these days, in my mind, is when you're doing citation creation for local search,
NAP,
right?
Yeah,
NAP stuff. But as far as link attribution and you know, authority building from that perspective, they're pretty useless.
It's good to see that. I've never been a fan of directory submission. I mean, I guess it was simple, but simple always led to bad results.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It never had any lasting power if something was simple to do.
And what people forgot to do with directory submissions, they think, oh, it's a link. But they forgot that there's so many variables around what's a quality link and what's not. Like, is the site quality? Is the page you're listed on, really relative to your site? All those other variables you look at when you're defining whether links are quality. People seem to forget those when they do directory submissions and directory links. It's just, I don't know why. They're just kind of like, that doesn't count for this. Yeah, it does.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, let's try to do too many things at once here, making notes on some other stuff. So,
you're going to start up that search engine again, don't you? I know you are.
You know, I half want to reach out to them and see. But yeah, no, I don't have the time. It is interesting, though. I love doing anything that helps the net, right? That's pretty cool. We don't get to do that very often.
That's true.
Any case, you also have a note here on Google Panda.
We already talked about that, actually. Somehow that note got in there twice.
Oh, yeah. I was going to think, Google Panda. All right.
You guys, if we want to talk about site architecture again, we can, but I think they're already tired of it.
Yeah, we've done all shows on that one. That's easy. Okay, yeah. So let's get into the listener questions. The first one's from Chris Clayton. It says, I was wondering if somebody could advise me what to do about removing bad links to my website. It would appear that somebody has hacked a legit website and attached every page, or at least the majority of them, of one of my websites onto its URL, but hidden in the website's image folder. Whoa, what a mess. They have basically copied the exact code for my web pages. I'm not really concerned about these illegally copied pages competing with my own because they aren't ranking well. What concerns me is the bad links it's sending to my website because they are using exactly the same code. I've got over 2,000 external links from this hacked website. I'm sure you guys will know more about this than me, but I fear that Google will interpret these as spam links and this will have an impact on my search engine rankings. Okay, well.
He had one more question. Does anybody know if this is the case and what course of action he should take? And I think that what course of action he should take is the piece that is the part that we should really cover.
Because he's right that there's a small chance that can happen. I mean, I don't really think if a site already had extremely low quality, I would think that these links would just be ignored. Really?
Yeah. But I think you have to be careful. Think about both sites, right? So the site that was hacked and has all this stuff in the image file, Google, if they've detected this, has already notified that site that they've been hacked, and they may have taken action on that site until they get their hacked site cleaned up, right? So those links might already be discounted until the host site cleans up its action. Nothing you can do about that. You probably don't even know whether that's happening unless you can go search for the domain, do a site: search for the domain to see if it shows up at all. But that's one aspect of it. And to your point, Ross, I agree. I think that Google knows they're hacked. There are pages in an image folder that are all duplicate content of somebody else's site. They're probably not going to count them. However, there's a couple things we can do or you can do to ensure that it doesn't impact you, one for future instances of this and one right now, right? So right now, go ahead and disavow that domain. There's no reason not to, and it'll make you feel more comfortable. Do it and do the whole domain. That way you make sure every page is covered, unless it's got a really relative site to yours and they've got other valuable links to your site outside of the hacked ones. Just disavow the whole domain.
Yeah, don't leave anything to chance. That's the way I work. There's too many weird things that can happen, and there's so little you can do about it if it does happen. So just protect yourself.
The other thing I would do, though, is go into your site now, if you can easily, and add rel equals canonical tag for your pages pointing back to the root of that page. So if you have an About Us page, for example, you can go domain.com/aboutus. On that page, put a rel equals canonical back to the same page. That way, if they copy your code again exactly, they're also copying that rel equals canonical tag, which will then make sure that none of those spammy pages get indexed, and they're not going to have any impact on you at all from that perspective.
Nice. Good job. Okay, so the next question is from Carl Bush. Carl's asked a few questions of us before, and they're always good. So he says, yep. I have my wedding videography site, uvfilms.co. I have about 10 different domains that forward to my main site. Two of these 10 domains. Wow, this is a long one. CedarRapidsWeddingVideography.com and IowaCityWeddingVideographer.com. So the first question, from an SEO standpoint, am I better to build a one or two page site for each of these domains and then have links to my main site, uvfilms.co, or just keep them forwarding to my main site? I was thinking about building a one or two page site to help with rankings for those specific cities. Also, my main site, uvfilms.co, already ranks in the top 4 local search for those keyword searches.
Did you hear that? Can you hear it? That's me cringing.
Well, I definitely thought I heard you cringe when I first said that. So I would, first of all, not create those separate domains. If you want to forward them, go for it. They're not really doing anything for you unless you've got them on something. such as advertisements or any kind of offline material. I really don't think they have any benefit. The days of that is long, long, long gone of leveraging those. You know, what I might do is create, if I don't know, so you've already said you've got rankings for these areas. Yeah. If you really wanted to get better rankings, perhaps you might want to create individual pages within your site that are focused on those areas and devoted to information about those areas and the services you offer there. And then if you want to redirect, you know, provide, let's say, the Cedar Rapids wedding videography, you could create a page for that and then have CedarRapidsWeddingVideography.com pointing to that, again, if you really want to keep them. But that will help you. Those pages will help you. The domain won't, but the pages will help you because they will add a little more clarity to the services you're offering in those areas, and it'll give you a better chance.
So actually, Mark Taylor answered this question in our Google community a couple times and got some feedback from Carl. And Mark Taylor nailed it big time, as he always does. His first comment was, stop what you're doing right away, which was great. And the one thing that I think kind of skips this is he's got these 10 different domains are already redirecting. Right. I think he's talking about stopping the redirects and building these sites. So, yes, do not do that. But then through that conversation in the comments on a community, Carl kind of basically said, hey, I'm doing this because of the keywords in the domain. Right. And and Mark properly said that, you know, keywords in the domains. What's the word for that? Direct match. What is that? I haven't used them in so long, I can't remember the acronym for them anymore. The keyword filled domains. Anyway, whatever that is, it's been quite a few years since those had really any major impact on websites at all. So if your strategy is to buy domains. Exact match, EMDs. So if you're thinking about, oh, I'm going to buy a bunch of domains with different keywords in them and point them all to my site so I can get traffic for those terms, that does not work, period. Now, if you're thinking about building sites on those domains, full-blown, fully operational, fully content-updated sites, possibly, as long as they have all their own unique content, all their own unique backlink profiles, as long as they're not all interconnected, creating a site network, you know, that may have some value, but I agree with Ross 100% on this. Build that content on your site. Sure, take one of these domains and redirect it if you want to use it in any other kind of promotional, even though those are pretty long domains. It wouldn't look good on a business card, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, if you use those, build pages on your site, redirect those domains to the internal pages of the site. You know, you can use them that way, but don't expect them to improve your rankings at all.
Well said. I hope that helps you, Carl, and also you, Chris. We really appreciate your questions. It's always nice to end the show with some very detailed questions, too, because makes us think a little hard, right?
Yes, it does.
Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which are at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.